This week, a rock guitar legend comes to Georgia. Wayne Kramer co-founded the Detroit band Motor City 5 back in 1967. You may remember this hit, Kick Out the Jams, from 1969. The group, also known as MC5, ultimately disbanded in 1973. But Wayne continued playing and has remained a politically vocal artist. He'll be in Georgia this week performing a benefit concert for Athens area veterans. Wayne Kramer joins me now. Hi there.
Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity to blab on the radio.
Rolling Stone named you one of the top 100 guitarists of all time. So how does that happen? I mean, can you point to the things that you did to become so good on the guitar?
Yeah, I practiced a lot.
No getting around it, huh?
Yes, there's no getting. Malcolm Gladwell was right. You've got to put in the 10,000 hours. I spent hundreds and hundreds of hours listening to records and trying to figure out what other guitar players were playing.
And I wonder, I mean, you've done so many things, and besides just the music, which is an enormous catalog, but you worked as a carpenter for a while. You obviously spent a little bit of time in prison. You launched your own label. And I wonder how you think that may have changed you as a musician. I mean, as compared to, say, somebody like The Edge, who plays with the same band for 30, 40 years or whatever it is. How does it change if you're somebody who does all kinds of different stuff?
Good question. How does it change? I made all my own misfortune, and I created all my own trouble. Maybe The Edge was just wiser and didn't turn left when he should have turned right. It might have been nice to not have to go through everything I did, but I did. And you know, the way I see it, the things that I've been through are really my greatest gifts. They're the things that I can turn to when I say I'm talking with someone else and they're facing a challenge that maybe I've faced, that I could say the one thing that no one else can say, which is, I know how you feel. I did that too.
Well, that brings us to one of your projects, which is the Jail Guitar Doors project.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you see that project functioning? Is giving people an opportunity to feel as though they're not unique in making mistakes, or what's the mission?
Well, the mission is pretty simple. We find people that work in corrections, that work in prisons and jails, that are willing to use music as a tool for rehabilitation. And we provide them with instruments and programming in the form of songwriting workshops. So if I can put a guitar in a man or a woman or a boy's hand and task him with writing a song, maybe to his mom or to his son or to himself, about how he got there and what might he do to make sure he never comes back to these places, and then have him perform that song for his fellows, it's transformative. They begin to see themselves as more than a crime or a bed space or a loser or a number, and start to see themselves as an artist, as someone who can contribute something to the world of beauty. And I think it can be the first step in the hard work of positive change.
Why is music the right vehicle for that? For I guess you're talking about like self-empowerment.
Yeah, and self-expression. And music is just one of any of the arts. You know, theater will do this, painting will do it, writing will do it, poetry does it, dance will do it. I know a guy. He's a sheriff's deputy in the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. And he told me once, Wayne, if I educate a criminal, I have an educated criminal. What it takes is a change on a deeper level, a fundamental change of heart. And the only thing that we know that really can reach people on that deep level is the arts and organized sports. Strangely enough, but the arts do is put us in touch with our humanity.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with guitarist and MC5 co-founder Wayne Kramer. Let's go back to the days of the MC5, because I want to fact check a story I heard, which was that Shaken Street, that song, which is kind of a different sound from what you're used to from the MC5. I was told that it was actually Springsteen's manager, John Landau, that demanded you guys put it on the album even though you didn't want to. Is that story true?
No.
So he's just out bragging for something. No inkling of that. You guys never resisted putting it on the album.
No, it was one of our best songs. Why? No, that's an interesting tale. I've never heard that one before. No,
well,
and John Landau was a huge fan of the song and of the band. And no, that never happened.
Okay. Well, then let's talk a little bit about where we are in the music business. And especially, we just got word this year that for the first time, rock and roll was dethroned, right? Hip hop outsold rock and roll for the first time. And I wonder what you think about that. Is sort of straight up rock on the way out?
Could be. I mean, every generation has to find its own voice and its own music and its own art, and it has to break away from the previous generation. And that's what my generation did with rock and roll, and even breaking away from early rock and roll into the rock of the 70s and 80s. And now, we're in a new time, and it's a new generation, so this is just the natural order of things.
But do you find things in the hip hop genre or R&B genre that you can use, or is it a totally different sort of form of the art?
Oh, it's all, when you're talking about music and combining melodies and lyrics and music, it's all in play. So, there's things that people are doing in hip hop that, absolutely come from other areas, rock and who knows, Lithuanian reggae music. It's all in the mix now.
This is Back in Detroit from the 1996 solo record Dangerous Madness, and you actually rebooted that album just a few years ago. Let's hear a little bit of Back in Detroit.
It's a hard wind that blows through the buildings and empty lots. As the corner of Michigan and 31st wakes in ruin, and the echoes of the happy shoppers faded long, long, long ago. Back when Chrysler, GM, and Ford went mad with greed.
What connection do you still feel to Detroit? Because I want to just reveal to my listeners that when I told them Detroit was my favorite city, you accused me of being mentally ill. So what connection do you still feel to the Motor City?
Well, I have a deep and complex relationship with Detroit. I was born and raised there and lived through Detroit's most prosperous period, and when all things were possible, and it was the greatest manufacturing center in the world. And then I had great personal triumphs and success there. And then I also crashed and burned badly there, and ended up in trouble with the police and being sent to prison. And then I watched the city kind of mirror my own personal downward spiral. You know, when I was living there, it was the fifth largest city in America, and a 1.5 million, maybe 2 million people in the city, and another 2 or 3 million in the suburbs. And today there's less than 700,000 people in the city of Detroit. It's like, you know, the American Pompeii. It's entire neighborhoods that I grew up in that are gone. They don't exist anymore. It's Katrina-level destruction. And you know, it's heartbreaking to go back. And you know, I still have a great many friends and a little bit of family there, and I admire them, and I appreciate the effort that they're putting in to try to sustain. I mean, maybe Detroit could be Portland one day, but it'll never be the Detroit of my youth, and you know, that's a sad commentary on capitalism, really. You know, that these giant corporations came in and you know, made billions and billions of dollars in profit, and then when the world around them changed, they didn't adjust, and then they just moved out, and they leave a city of leftover workers and no jobs. And you know, this is the trouble with capitalism. It puts profit ahead of people.
Well, let's go back to your musical influence, although I'm not sure we can separate musical influence from political influence. But let's hear a song about you that was written by The Clash. This is Jail Guitar Doors. So, I mean, that is years old, but you must meet people all the time who point to you as one of their main influences. You and the MC5 and the music coming out of the time that you guys were playing. Did you have any inkling in 1967, 1970, that all these years later, people would still be listening to your stuff and still be influenced by you?
In a way, you know, we used to talk about the music we were creating and kind of run it through a filter of, was this idea historically valid? In other words, would it sustain over time, or was this just, a momentary fad? So I tried to always think in terms of style and not fashion. Fashion comes and goes, changes all the time, but style is eternal.
But that suggests that you may have tossed stuff out that didn't meet that standard.
Of course.
A lot?
It happened. I mean, you know, you always have to make decisions about, is this a good idea or is this not a good idea? And we had a lot of you know, intense conversations about, you know, let's do this lyric. No, I don't like that lyric. That lyric, no, that doesn't make any sense. No, that's temporary, you know.
So how is that different? The process of playing with bands and writing your own stuff, or how is that different, do you think, musically, from the process of scoring movies or TV shows? I mean, you've done a lot of work with Will Ferrell movies. You scored the documentary Hacking Democracy, which was so controversial on HBO, and the TV show Eastbound and Down,
right?
I think that was yours. Yeah.
Yep.
How's that musical process different from playing in a band?
Couldn't be more different. It's too entirely different skill sets, because if I want to make a record, I write some songs and I call up my friends and we all go in the studio and we record the record and we mix it and voila, there's my record. But when I'm scoring, I work for the director and or the showrunner. And my job is to help them tell their story their way. It's not my music. It's not my ideas. It's their music. It's their ideas. And my job is to apply what I know about music to help them do that. It's way more challenging than playing in a band because you work for somebody, and that somebody has absolute control. I mean, I've had directors say, "Wayne, we love what you just wrote. It's really great. I think it's perfect. But could you change the beginning, the end, and the middle?" And my job is to say, "Yes, sir. I'm on it right now. I'm getting it done."
How, but you still
how
enjoy
exactly?
It?
Of course. Of course. It's, the collaboration is the best part of the work.
Okay, Wayne Kramer is guitarist and co-founder of the Detroit band, the MC5. He will perform at CBGB Athens. It's a benefit for Athens area veterans. That's this Saturday at 7 p.m. Wayne, thank you so much. Thanks for coming to Georgia, and thanks for playing here.
Thanks.